Our scripture today is going to be in Hebrews 2, 1 through 9. So if you want to go ahead and be looking that up. And the mission of someone standing up here to give a message to you should be to present God's word in a way that it's useful, is digestible, that we can and take it and nourish our spirits with the word. And in other words, make God's word user-friendly, a way that we can take that word, put it in our heart, and live it out in our lives. But you can't do that without the Spirit of God, can you? You have to have the Spirit within you to have you have the ability to understand what His word is saying and how to apply that word into your life. And so, as believers, that's what we need to do. We need to rely on the Spirit to testify to us to what we need to do. But to non-believers, the only thing that they can do with the Word is to receive it for salvation, can't they? Because they need the Spirit in their lives before they can understand the Word of God. I spoke about it in Sunday school this morning. You can read through the Bible 1,000 times, but without the Spirit, you're not going to get out of it what you need. The Spirit of God has to be within you for you to understand what you're reading and how that you would use that word. And first, you have to have that great salvation, don't you? That comes through the Word of God. And that's what we're going to look at today. If I was going to title the lesson anything, it is Do Not Neglect Salvation. How important salvation is. And the word neglect, it's hard to use neglect in a sentence and make it positive, isn't it? I mean, neglect always seems to be negative. In my mind, the first thing you think of is like child neglect. And to think how hideous abuse it is to neglect a child. And how bad child neglect is a child would rather you verbally or physically abuse them than to neglect them. Because they'll act out until you do one or the other. But they want your attention. And it's a severe child abuse to neglect a child. Also, when we come to the end of our life, 90% of our regrets are going to be what? The things we neglected to do. And when you come to the end of life, the main thing you're going to you're going to regret is what you didn't do with Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Do not neglect salvation and coming to the Lord. So I'm going to go ahead and read these first 9 verses and then we'll get into it. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receives a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard it, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. For He has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, What is a man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hand. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that you have put all in subjection under his feet, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he maybe by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. All right. we're looking at here and start out at give more earnest heed. We'll look at the word therefore. It starts out with therefore we will give more earnest heed. And therefore we'll have to go back and look at verse or chapter 1 where it talks about that Christ is above the angels, you know, is more excellent than the angels. And then we go into the therefore, to understand how Jesus is above the angels. Therefore, give more earnest heed to the things you've heard, lest you drift away. How easy is it for people to drift away? We're seeing it in our today, and today, aren't we? That before COVID and now, how much smaller the congregation is, when in fact the congregation should be larger than it was. Amen. To understand that how important and how short time can be and opportunity can be for us, that we must pay more earnest heed to the word. Brother Robert brings the word every week and he brings it in an excellent way. And that we, you know, we're walking through Acts, and this is, I mean, there's no other place that we get more dynamic words for the early church and for us today than in the book of Acts, that how we should be paying heed to that. Because if we don't, we're going to drift. And so it says, for if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast. Talking there, the angels brought the law to Moses, and it proved to be steadfast. And then it says, every transgression and disobedience receives a just reward. To understand, under the law, you're going to receive a reward for your disobedience and for your transgressions. And it's, you know, in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned to fall short of the glory of God, doesn't it? All have transgressed, all have been disobedient, and all will receive that just reward, because the wages of sin is what? It's death. That's the reward you'll get for your transgressions and disobedience acts under the law. Then it comes with, how shall we escape? How can we escape that judgment, that reward that comes from those transgressions and that disobedient act? By not neglecting so great a salvation. It's the only escape. The only way that you cannot receive your just rewards for your transgressions and your disobedience act is through that great salvation that was given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's, we need to heed that earnestly. We need not to drift away. Do we understand that our disobedience and our transgressions are going to receive a reward, but we can't escape that reward through salvation through Jesus Christ? Let's move on. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. Jesus testified to it, didn't he? To the salvation. And was confirmed to us by who heard him, which the disciples and the other followers at that day. They testified to what they had seen and they heard. They testified it in such a way that they went to death themselves, didn't they? To not forsake that salvation and to prove that salvation. And it is also said, God also bearing witness, both in signs, wonders, and various miracles. God himself testified through Jesus Christ, through the disciples, with signs and wonders and miracles. Sometimes you wish you could have seen some of those signs, wonders, and miracles. I know I do. You know, maybe Jesus walking on water, or raising somebody from the dead, or all those different things that it would be. And you would think, well, if people were to see that, then they would But people did see that, didn't they? And they didn't all come, did they? We can justify and we can explain everything away, can't we, if we're trying to stand firm on a position that we already have. You know, a mindset, a viewpoint. And you would think, it would be logical to think, that if you've seen the signs and wonders and miracles that you would change. But we know that's not true. And Jesus said that it would, you know, wasn't true. And gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. Whose own will? It's God's will, isn't it? Because we're thinking about Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and He prayed. What? Not my will, but thy will be done. It was God's will that this be done. And it was through God that these things were worked out, that He worked through our Lord Jesus Christ, working out these signs and these miracles that we could have this great salvation to understand. Other things that you can look at is that Jesus did all these things to fulfill prophecy, didn't He? He was the answer and to every prophecy about the Messiah there was. Jesus fulfilled every one. And this is all within this. We're looking at not neglecting the salvation that was provided for us, to understand how costly that salvation was. We can receive it freely, can't we? But it wasn't free, was it? It was paid for. We're talking about the freedom in America today, and we are free because there was people willing to go to foreign lands and to fight, and even in our own land in the beginning in the Revolutionary War, to fight for us to have freedom. And we get it freely. But there's people that paid the ultimate price for us to have that. Doesn't even come close to what Jesus did for us. It was so great a salvation that He would come from heaven and come to earth. To me, that was the greatest sacrifice that anyone can make. Leave where we want to be, to come here, and to pay that price for us. But what is more even mind-boggling, that He was willing to die on the cross for us and to have that shame and rejection put upon Him, that we should not neglect that salvation. We're going to move on. The next section would be the Son made lower than the angels. Again, we can go back to how that in the first chapter He's talking about how that Jesus was far superior to the angels, but then through this He was made lower than the angels so He could come to earth as a man. It said, for He has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels. Again, it might look illogical for God to put the world under subjection of angels, but it's not the way He chose to work things, is it? And God's intent in the beginning in the garden was for man to be over the earth and the earth to be in subjection to man. And then man blew that, didn't he? When they fell and they were deceived by Satan. Now, we know Satan is the power of the air now and of this realm. But that is where Jesus has come to negate that, hasn't He? And these things, it says, has not put the things of the world to come, the world to come, not the world now, but the world to come, fully under Jesus' authority. So, it says, what is a man that you are mindful of him, and of the Son of Man that you take care of him? This is back in Psalms 8, where it talks about, because underneath it says, but one testified in a certain place, saying, and it was testified in Psalms 8, and it says, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. And this is still foretold. It's talking about the world to come, and that Jesus is came at first to fulfill the prophecy of the Messiah, to be born, to live that perfect life, and to die that death for us, willingly sacrificing himself. Nobody really wanted to suffer the way that Jesus suffered. Even Jesus wasn't really thrilled about having to suffer the way he suffered, or he wouldn't say, "Take this, let this cup pass, but nevertheless, thy will but mine be done." It's hard to believe that in spite of that great desire that had to be there to not have to suffer that, that he went ahead and did that for us. It says, "For if that he put all things in subjection under his feet, he has left nothing that is not put under his feet, but now we do not yet see all things put under his feet." And that's where we're at right now, isn't it? That we haven't yet seen everything put in subjection under his feet. Even though we know it is, we know it's going to be, there is this time that we're living in now that we still have these spiritual struggles, don't we? Each day we're struggling with Satan, the world, everything, all these pulls around us to pull us away from, to cause us to drift, as we talked about earlier in that. That's why it's so important to keep ourselves in the Word of God, fellowship with one another, that we won't drift and that we can help each other. There's going to be things that happen in your life that might cause you to drift, to cause you to have pause, to think that maybe what we have is not real. But knowing that Jesus himself has testified, the disciples testified, God testified, the Holy Spirit testified that it is real, and that what we have is a great salvation and an opportunity for each one of us to receive that salvation and not neglect it, understanding what neglecting that will be. We've truly got one decision in your whole life to make, and that's what you're going to do with Jesus. What are you going to do with Jesus? And then every other decision hinges on that, doesn't it? What am I going to do with Jesus? If he's going to be my Lord, then all my decisions after that have to be made in light of that, don't they? That it's not my will, but thy will to be done. So we have to operate under his authority then, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith, right? Yeah. And we have no hope. None, no hope apart from him. So, in the receiving of that salvation, then we have to operate within that salvation. Knowing that it may not look at like it today, that everything is going to be put under Jesus' feet. But knowing that if the things that the angels had testified about were steadfast, that the things that Jesus said were done. He said that they were going to be done, and they were done the way he said they were going to be. If the eyewitnesses testified to it, God testified to it, the Spirit testified to it, we also should be testifying to it, shouldn't we? That we have received so great a salvation that there's no way that we should ever neglect that. It should always be in the forefront, in the front of our mind, that we're working and operating under the will of God through the authority of Jesus Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And that's the only way that we can do that. And even though that there's going to be times that we're going to make mistakes and that we're not going to live up to our calling, But we have a Savior who is faithful to forgive us for those transgressions, don't we? And then we can get back on track and start doing the things we need to do. But still, we have to go back to give earnest heed to the things that we have heard. And people, other people can't, the laws can't do that if we're not sharing that word with them. They can't heed it if they haven't heard it, can they? It's a great salvation, but it's one a lot of people are keeping to themselves, aren't they? They're not sharing with the people you come in contact with. They're not being the witness that maybe they should be and standing out, showing the light and doing it. And I can tell you right now that I don't live up to that call. But then the Lord convicts me through the Holy Spirit to tell me, Carl, that's not right. You know, you're not walking the way that I want you to walk, and you're not being the representative, the ambassador that you should be. And hopefully when he does that, then I recognize it, and then I step away from what I was doing. And maybe even you have to go apologize to somebody for what you did, you know. So in that, we have to look at the very last of this, that he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. And now we're looking at the price that was paid. You know, it was testified in the Old Testament that this would have to happen, and it did happen, and it happened the way it said, that a bone wouldn't be broke, that his side would be pierced, that he would live that life that he lived. Everything happened exactly the way it was supposed to happen when he was born, that he came out of Egypt because his parents had to leave to keep from him from getting killed. All these things were prophesied in the Old Testament. Everything that was prophesied was fulfilled through our Lord Jesus Christ, all the way up to him tasting death for everyone. Not just for some, but for everyone. But will everyone receive him? Some won't receive him because we don't give them the opportunity to receive him, because we're not speaking out the way we should be. We're not testifying the way that we should be. It boggles your mind sometimes that God would choose us to share his word with other people, that he wouldn't have another way to do it. And the Holy Spirit does testify to him. Nature testifies to him. Everything should be drawing him to, or everyone to him. But it is our call, go ye therefore. You know. And therefore is everywhere. And we have opportunities each day with people that we come in contact with to share the word of God and to be a witness. But not to neglect that salvation ourselves, lest we drift and get our just reward. And, you know, the world thinks, well, how can a loving God send people to hell? He's not, I mean, you're going to send yourself by the choice that you made. He's given you opportunity. He's made way. He made a way that you don't receive your just rewards, that you can have opportunity. And in that, there's a call out today, then, isn't there? For us to share the Word of God with the people we come in contact with, but also to examine ourselves, that we're not neglecting, that we're not not heeding the more earnest things that we have heard, you know, that we're not sharing And not sharing is not caring. We have to have a love and compassion for the people that we see out, even though sometimes it's hard to love everybody, isn't it? And it's hard to show love to a lot of people, especially when they're contrary to everything you believe and you stand for. It would be hard to go to Vladimir Putin and share the word with him, wouldn't it? But it's what we're called to do, and called to that nation. You look at Jonah, was sent to Nineveh, and did he want to go? No, he didn't want to go. And he was actually aggravated when they repented, wasn't he? But that was his call, and that's even our call today, to go to the world that is agitated and angry and contrary to everything God stands for and everything that we stand for, and show his love that God sent his only son to make that way to that great salvation and that opportunity that we all have opportunities to show his love, his grace, his mercy. And in that, we'll get a great blessing if we can share that. And to have an opportunity to stand up here and share God's word with you is an awesome responsibility, which one is that Brother Robert takes very seriously, because you can tell with his message that he brings and the way that he brings it to us, that in a way that we can understand and know what God's will is for us in our life. But to neglect and to not heed what is said, I believe is sin in itself, you know, and that something that I know I sometimes need to ask forgiveness for. When I am listening to a message and it's convicted me on certain things in my life, and I don't act upon those things. So that is my message for today, and I try to go straight through the Word of God so that it isn't my message, it's God's message through me. And when we look at certain sections of this Word, it is so awesome to see that how all the Word fits together. That you can go from Hebrews, back to Psalms, to Genesis, all over the Bible through this one little section of Scripture, how the whole Bible testifies to what it says right here in this one section of Scripture, and how it fits together so well to understand that we know it's the Word of God, because man is not smart enough to put it together this way, that it would be that effective and to be that integrated with everything else in the whole Word of God. Let's go to the Lord in one prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can come in your house and that we can share your word, and that your word will not come back void, Lord, that it will have power in people's lives, each one of our lives, Lord. From me standing up here to everyone in the congregation, your word is powerful, and it is used to edify and to lift us up and to lift you up, Lord. It should always glorify you in the way it's presented, in the way it's received, and the way it's expressed out in our lives, Lord. It shall always bring the glory to you and no one else. So we pray that that's what has happened this morning, Lord. And if there's anyone that needed to heed this word, Lord, and to make a change, to come up front, Lord, and get on your knees. And we don't have to do that. We can do it right where we sit. But there is amazing power when people will come along beside you and understand, and to know that each one of us are having our difficulties in life, Lord. And we all have our struggles, and we all have ways that we slip, Lord. We pray that we can show love and compassion to each other and understand that, Lord, we have the same struggles. So we pray as we go into this invitation time, Lord, that if anyone needs to come to you, Lord, for any reason, that they can do that. These things are praying in Jesus' name.